tape this. I can see myself on the TV. My name's Bill. I'm an alcoholic. It reminds me of like a security cam. My sobriety date is May 25th of 1985, which just tells you that AA works. You know? If any of you are shocked, believe me, you're not as shocked as I am that I'm still here. So I didn't want to have anything to do with this cult. I was just looking for something to take to court. I had a court date and I needed something, you know. I started drinking when I was 14. I was turned into AA at the tender age of 18, which I thought was really unfair. I've been sober since 19. Thank you, Rachel. That's always, I always get a kick out of Rachel. I owe my life to Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, it was funny, I don't know why I was thinking this earlier today, and I was thinking about talking tonight, and I was thinking about how many people would be here, and I can tell you this, in the time that I've been in AA, a lot more people than are in this room right now I've watched die in AA. Most of them because they weren't that bad, you know, it wasn't that bad. You know, they just had a little trouble, they needed something for court, you know, something like that. I started drinking at 14. My first drink was Carlo Rossi wine. Maybe I'm an alcoholic. I can remember the label. I remember it said Kroger. I remember it was $6 and change. I remember it tasted horrible. I mean, I was a 14-year-old kid. I like drinking like high C and Hawaiian Punch. You know, I'm drinking this Carlo Rossi. It was gnarly. But, you know, this kid said, "Do you drink?" And of course I said, "Yes." You know, I mean, I would always, you know, lie, you know what I mean? It'd be like, "I'd never seen the ocean." It'd be like, "Oh, I've surfed, you know, whatever." I would lie about everything. And with drugs, that can get you in some interesting situations. But anyway, I drank that wine, and all I remember was smiling. I just remember smiling, you know? And before that, I was just a totally, I didn't know it then. I would have said I was shy or whatever, but I was just riddled with anxiety, self-centeredness, you know what I mean? Just totally super uncomfortable. But when I drank that wine, man, I just remember feeling awesome and just thinking, man, this is, you know, this is an amazing feeling. And I remember thinking, I'm going to do this every chance I get. You know what I mean? I was like, this freaking feels amazing. And I was the kind of kid that I was like, never going to drink, never going to smoke. I was a total worrywart, like weird kid. I mean, I'd see a show about cancer. I'm like five. I'm like, I got cancer. I know it. You know what I mean? I was just always worried about horrible things happening to me. I'm still kind of like that, but not as bad. I drank that wine. And then, you know, every chance I got, that's what I did. Like the second time I drank, I blacked out. I didn't know what that was. I mean, I thought that was time travel. I didn't find out what that was till I got to AA, you know, years later. But I just remember it was like, you know, it was like November, I'm from Ohio, and it was like, you know, just getting dark. And I was drinking this Rolling Rock, and I'd stolen some Valiums from my mom. And, you know, I mean, this is like the second time I drank. I'm already taking pills. You know, I was like, I'll never take pills, you know. And anything I said I'd never do, I did. You know, it would be like, I'm never going to do it till I get the chance to do it. So I was with my friend, and we were supposed to book, you know, before my mom got back from her date or whatever. My parents were already divorced, and that's a great thing because you can blame all your problems on that till you're at least 60. I freaking was supposed to book, and it was like, anyway, next thing you know, it's the morning. My friend's gone. I'm like, where's Jeff? That's weird, you know. So I go up to get my Cheerios or whatever, and my mom looks like hell. And I don't know what her, you know, she's just like, what were you on? And I'm just like, what the hell is she talking about, you know? And she proceeded to tell me all this stuff that I had done and things I had said to her. And, you know, it was pretty much, I didn't know, a preview of the rest of my life drinking, you know? I tried to pee where there wasn't a bathroom. I'd get naked in front of people, you know, in public. And I tried to pee behind the speaker in the living room. You know, I'm like, whatever. Like, you know, I didn't do any of that stuff. And my brother was like, yeah, you did, you know? And I'm just so grateful that all my stuff happened before camera phones. I feel sorry for all these kids of the 21st century. You know, everything's got to be videoed. Because I was that guy you'd always be videoing, you know, because I was always puking somewhere or on somebody. And, you know, always breaking stuff, always pissing my pants. We wore acid watch back in the 80s, you know, so like it really accentuated the pee stain. And I would wake up, you know, I'd pass out somewhere and all I'm worried about, I'm not so worried that I pissed myself, I'm more worried because everybody's passed out around me. I'm like, did I pee myself before they passed out? Did they know? Like, you know, and you're trying to do stuff like dry your pants with a hair dryer. It's too loud, so you just book. You know, so you're like hitchhiking in the cold with wet pants. You tie your coat around your waist. People are like, why don't you put your coat on? It's snowing. Like, I'm hot. You know, I'm on ski. They're like, really? It's because my pants are peed. I don't want anybody to see it. I mean, that's what they're talking about, the double life, you know. You know, I love in the book, it says, he trembles to think someone may have observed him. You know, and that was my whole life. I was always worrying about being observed. But, you know, and I always was. But, you know, but you would think I would stop drinking after a couple of those things. Because I really worry about what people think, you know. But it would never. I would never think I'm not going to drink. I'd always be like, well, it was the Chinese food. Or like, you know, I drank too fast. I need to pace myself better. You know what I mean? Or, you know, I'm not going to take pills when I drink. Ha ha. You know, I mean, that's real funny. You know, it's like, first thing you do when you get pills, you got to kick them in, you know. So, you know, I would just do anything. I always think of faith and how I had so much trouble when I came to the program. They talk about having faith and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, I can't do that. But boy, did I have faith when I got in the medicine cabinet and I found some pills. You know, I mean, I wouldn't, and my point is, I would probably be taking heart medicine and stuff. I'd be like, oh, these are made by the same people that make Valiums, you know, and that doesn't mean they're a drug that's going to get you hot. I would take them, you know, and we'd look up side effects, you know, and I'd ignore things like liver failure and stuff, but I'd be like dizziness. I'd be like, that sounds like a buzz, and we'd eat them, you know. We'd take whatever, you know. I'm like 14 years old doing that, you know. But I grew up in a little, like, kind of really nice place, but it was like, I hated it. And we had like 7 acres and horses. I couldn't stand it. You know, I would hitchhike to the creepier parts of town. And, you know, that was Uber back then. You stick your thumb out. And 1 minute you're praying you get a ride. The next minute you're praying you get out of the car alive from Jeffrey Dahmer, you know. But I would do it all the time. I didn't think anything of it, you know. And I just thought, you know, my parents sucked. Like, why don't they live on the bus line? It would be easier, you know. But, and the other one I would think was like, man, if I just had my license, things wouldn't suck so bad. Because I was always walking, you know, and people like to throw bottles at you and fireworks and stuff when you're hitchhiking. But, and the other funny one is I would wear camo. And where I grew up, it's so rural. It's like more rural than Lakeland. My old, you know, my dad was like, you should be wearing like a safety vest. You know what I mean? Because it's like, he'd be like, I almost hit you. You look like a bush out here, you know. But I was cool, so. You know, and in the blackouts, I pretty much black out every time. So, you know, most people that I would drink with them once. That was enough, usually. They would, you know, have enough of me because I was just so off the chain, you know. And if you were a friend of mine, I would usually attack you before the night was over, you know. Something could happen, like I might give you a cigarette, and then I'd accuse you of stealing a cigarette from me, and then I would attack you, you know. And it was just bad, but... I never, you know, I just thought I would, you know, grow into it or whatever. I'd start drinking like a gentleman or whatever, but it never happened. So, and I can remember being 15, you know, and I can remember bikers and stuff would look at me, and they would look at me with disgust. And they would say, and if you're an alcoholic, you've probably experienced this, where they're like, you know, some people shouldn't drink. You know, they would say that shit to me, and I just couldn't even believe it. I'd be like, you're drinking? Like, why? What did I ever do to you, you know? But, that's the kind of stuff that would happen. So I, you know, just kept going on. My first, thing with the police, and also alcoholism, I just think it's interesting the way your brain works, at least for me. Like, say I would be sober and I had friends like, look, we're going to rob this place and get some money. I'd be like, I don't want to rob any place. I don't want to go to jail. You know, but then you're like, hey, this guy's got a bunch of wine in his basement. I'm the first one through the window. You know what I mean? And I'm like, we're getting something to drink, you know? And, you know, I know today, you know, I'm an alcoholic, but I, like I said, I got, you know, I kept thinking I'll get my license. So I finally get my license, and I had this little 65 Mustang, and me and my dad were supposed to fix it up, you know, or whatever. And I would wreck it every night, but I wouldn't know that I wrecked it because I'm a blackout drinker. So, you know, my dad would be like, what happened to your car? I'd be like, what do you mean? And he'd take me out to the car, and there'd be some big-ass dent in it, you know. And I'd make up some story of what happened to it. And then he'd tell me, he'd, you know, explain to me how that wasn't possible. And I'd think of chapter 3, and I'd become irritated and refuse to talk, you know. But, you know, there were different things. Like, one time, he's like, what were you doing driving in a cornfield? I wasn't driving in a cornfield. He gets a creeper out. He gets under the car, pulls a big corn stalk out of the drive shaft, you know. And what had happened is, you know, the usual kind of thing. I had near-death experiences all the time when I was drinking. But I'm, like, driving. I drop a joint. I go left to center. I go flying through a cornfield, like, 55 miles an hour. You know, I about have a heart attack. You know, I get back on the road, you know, but no cell phones back then. You know what I mean? So you just, you know, just kind of look. And I would never think it's because I'm high, I'm drunk. I think I'm stupid. That's my problem, you know. So I need to focus, you know. So then another time I'm late to work, I'm on Quaaludes, drunk, you know, and I got a clock in. The old times, you have a paper thing you had to punch. So I jump out of the car, I don't shut it off, I put it in reverse. I jump out of my car, I open the door hits the car next to me, it completely takes my driver door all the way up like this, wipes out the whole side of this car, you know, I just get to work. And like, I'm at work having, like, a panic attack, you know, I'm drunk and on Quaaludes, but I'm having a panic attack. My boss is like, what happened? I'm like, dude, I just wiped out this car in the parking lot. He's like, which car? I show him, because all that guy's in the bar, he's by himself, he won't even know. So I'm just, like, all night, I don't know about you, if you're used to waiting for police radios, like, that's how I spent my life, waiting for, you know, the police radio. But I'm there all night just washing dishes like crazy. I was a dishwasher, and I'm just working my ass off, you know, hoping the police won't come. And they didn't, you know, and it was crazy. Like, 3 days later, my boss was like, the car's all fixed up. See, you didn't even know you did it. I'm just like, psh. But I mean, that was my life, you know. Every day, I'm like waiting to get caught for some crazy shit that I did, you know, or and a lot of times, I don't even know I did it. People call me, and I don't know if you remember this. I would do this all the time. I wonder what it's like with all the digital stuff. But I would just call people, you know, do detective work. The next day, I just call the last person. Like, the last person I seen was Chris. I call Chris. I'm like, hey, man, what's happening? Because I have no clue. You know what I mean? I'm like, it's pretty crazy last night. And then Chris will be like, you don't remember, do you? You know, I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, don't go to Tony's house. You know? Why not? What happened to Tony's house? He's like, dude, you don't even want to know, you know? And it would never be anything cool. It would be something just so, like, it wouldn't even make sense. You know what I mean? It's just humiliating. And you'd think I'd stop drinking, but I wouldn't. You know, I would just be like, well, I would, like, chain smoke and pace and, like, figure it out, you know, like, why were my pants down? And whatever, something, you know, whatever it was. You know, why was I, you know, whatever it was I was doing, you know, why did I do that, you know? So, yeah. Then, yeah, so I get my license, and I told you that, I got my license. But I, you know, it was maybe 6 months, I get my first DUI. I always tell this story. I was pulling out of an Arby's, you know, I got a beef and cheddar, it was delicious. And anyway, I got a cop right behind me, and he's pulling me over. And at the time, I got the camo on, I got the long hair, the headband and stuff. So I'm like, I'm being profiled. He's pulling me over because I look like I get high. You know, this is complete bullshit. And I just remember having the mag light, and they used to carry 357s. He's got the huge pistol, and I'm like, why has he got his hand on the gun, you know? And he's like, how are you feeling tonight? And I'm like, I'm fine, you know, like, I'm trying to get home. Why aren't you, like, fighting crime? I didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking in my head. Like, why are you hassling me, you know? And, you know, I'm underage, so I'm worried I smell of the malt liquor I'm drinking. So I shoved that whole sandwich. I was probably spitting roast beef and cheese on him, you know, 17. But, you know, he's like, well, do you know why I'm pulling you over? And I'm like, no, like, you know, and he's like, you know, you cut me off. I had to slam on my brakes. You almost caused an accident. I'm like, that's why you got brakes. Like, be cool to me, you know. And anyway, he makes me get out, and I'm on Placidils, which you're probably too young to know, but they're muscle relaxers. So I did a nice rubber man walk for him. Very short field sobriety test, and, you know, to jail. And so that was my first DUI, and I had to go to, like, juvenile drug something, you know what I mean? I would, like, be talking about it in high school like it was cool, you know, like, yeah, I gotta go to drug class and I remember these people be like, good, like, I hope you pay attention. People that, like, party were like, I hope, you know, you get some help there or whatever. And I would be so mad. And but, you know, we went to that, and I didn't see anybody from AA, but somebody from NA came in and, like, gave a talk. And I remember just being horrified, like, well, if I ever get like that, I'll go to NA, but not now, you know what I mean? I'm not that bad. I haven't robbed a pharmacy yet, you know? Like, so, I mean, that's, you know, what I got out of it. And I remember that was the first time I saw, have you ever seen, like, the alcoholism chart? You know, and I remember they were just talking about alcoholism, and I just was like, to myself, like, laughing like a hyena, like, they're trying to say, like, I have an alcohol problem. Like, that's how clueless I was. I was like anybody knows, you got to be like 70 to be an alcoholic. I mean, you got to be really old, you know. So, needless to say, I didn't get better in that time. And I didn't have my license for like 6 months, and I got to see how much everyone appreciated my company. I would just be calling people, begging them to come get me, and nobody was going to touch me with a 10-foot pole, you know, because people, anybody who knew me was like, yeah, let's go get Bill. He might have some change to pitch in. He'll drink 10 times that much. He will start fights with everybody, you know, because I'm the guy that screams out the window at people I don't know and starts a fight. I don't fight. I just get one going, you know. And I'm the guy when you go places like you're staying in the car. Even coming out of the car, my friends would beat the shit out of me. You know what I mean? They'd be like, you stay in the car, keep your mouth shut. And I was pretty sensitive too. So anyway, that kind of stuff was going on. And yeah, it was just bad. And then my poor mother, my father traveled, and I lived with my mom. So my mom got to deal with me, you know, stinking up the house with weed and stuff. And like, she'd be like, I know that's pot. I'd be like, it's incense. You know, I'd be high out of my mind. I'd be like, how would you know what kind of people are you hanging out with that you know what pot smells like? You know, I'd be baked out of my mind. And anybody, I don't care if you were wanted by the FBI, whatever, you could, if you were, had something I wanted, you could live at my house indefinitely until you ran out. Then all of a sudden I go, my mom, you know, my mom says you can't stay, you gotta go, you know. And she would be all freaked out. You know, there'd be some dude with hair down to his ass, like getting in the fridge or something. She thinks someone's broken into the house. It's somebody, you know, you can stay at my house till you run out of pills or whatever. But stuff like that. And the other thing, I know we got some cooks out there. I like to come home. I don't know about you, but when I'm drunk, I like to cook. So I come home and like put a pot of chili on. Mom loves this. You know, it's about 2 a.m. You just pass out and let it boil over. You wake up to the smoke alarm going or smacking the shit out of you. You're drunk. You're drunk. You're like, I'm not drunk. I'm just tired, you know. So, you know, all that was going on. And then I turned 18. And I remember all my friends were like, what are you going to do when you turn 18? You know, everybody's going to like move out or do all this cool stuff. And I was drinking a beer and I was like, well, I imagine I'll be going to jail pretty soon, you know. And I mean, I knew, you know, I was like, I knew that it wasn't going to be good to become an adult, and I was right. But I turned 18 and got my license back, and it was just pathetic. It was my mom and dad, and I don't know why my dad was trying to help me get my license. It was very expensive. It didn't make any sense, really. And my mom is just like, he's going to kill someone, you know. You can't even figure out how to get in the house. Like, I'd always get busted trying to get in the house because I'd make so much noise trying to unlock the door because I'd be so wasted, you know. And anyway, he was like, just promise me you won't drink and drive. He's like, just call me. He said, I won't bitch at you. He said, I'll just get you a taxi or I'll come pick you up. And I'm like crying, you know, I love you, Dad. You know, I'm like flipping my mom off under the table, you know. And she was the smart one because I had no business driving. So I go out that night, get a DUI. It's literally like, I got my, a couple days I had my license to get a DUI. The whole night I'm getting wasted. I'm telling my friends, like, I can't get a DUI, man. And that's how I was like, can't get a DUI. The old man's totally cool. But like, when I get drunk, I want to drive, you know. And you know, had people there beg me to let me, you know, let them drive, and I insisted on driving, flipped my car, got a DUI, and, you know, the next day, same thing, I just think, you're an idiot, like, why didn't you call your dad, like, why didn't you let Tim drive, you know what I mean, he wasn't even drunk, you know, and I insisted on driving, but the like, blessing or whatever was my best friend was in a rehab, he's like the first, you know, of anyone we knew. It went to one of these places, you know. He was in an alcohol and drug rehab, and I would just like make, he'd call me like, Bill, I think we got a drug problem. I was like, no, you got a drug problem, you're in that place, you know. And I would just laugh, you know. And anyway, I got this second DUI, and the older guys had told me, they're like, dude, you're going to the old workhouse. And where I'm from, the old workhouse was like, it was built during the Civil War. Like, it was bad, you know. And they're like, dude, it's bad, you know. So he was in there. He said, dude, there's girls in here. The food's good. They got dessert every day. They had chocolate milk on tap. I remember that. I got fat in that place. But you know, I just seen One Flew the Cuckoo's Nest. So I thought, okay, this is no-brainer. I'll do like Jack Nicholson. I'll go in here. I'll pretend I'm an alcoholic. I'll get my little certificate. You know, I'll take it to court, show the judge, and I'll get credit for time in the treatment center instead of going to jail. You know, so it sounded good to me. So that's what I did, and it was pretty horrific. You know, I went in there. First, they had rubber furniture with round edges. They were kind of having like big time wrestling when I showed up. There was some dude with his head shaved. It was like 1984. He had his head shaved, had a spike collar on his neck, like punk rock, you know. I was like, what the hell? Everybody's coming up to you, they're shaking their hand. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a drug addict. And I'd be like, dude, like, don't touch me. You know what I mean? I was like, I don't want to catch that, you know. You might want to keep that to yourself. And then that night, they were like, you got to go to the AA meeting. I'm like, I'm not going to the AA meeting. Like, I'll go to NA, but I'm not going to AA. You know what I mean? And it was so funny to me now. Like A, it was just like, A, you know, that's got some dignity to it. But alcoholic, like, that's just loser. You know what I mean? Just failure. I mean, that's just what I, and I know nothing of it. But, you know, I know today, I didn't know then, but I mean, I was totally an alcoholic because alcohol, whatever problem I had, I can't tell you how many times I was going to blow my brains out because my mom told me to get a job or something. And I wanted her to feel bad, but as soon as I drink, you know, I'm like, I'm going to drink this, I'm going to kill myself. As soon as I drink, I don't want to kill myself. As soon as I get a buzz, I'm like, I'm moving to California. I'm joining the Marines. I'm going to college. I'm going to become whatever. And I mean, when I'm drunk, I believe it. You know what I mean? And it's like I can visualize myself. I'm in great shape. I'm a Marine captain or whatever it is that night. I might be a pilot. Who knows? And then I piss the bed. But it's like, you know, before that happens, it's just amazing. You know, just, and everybody's kissing your ass and they're like telling you how wrong they were and sorry. You know, and all the money, I pay it back like all at once, like a big stack of cash. Like, yeah, you didn't think I'd pay it. Boom, you know. And it's like, I just feel great, you know, before I pass out. So, that's, you know, that's pretty much what happened. So, I don't know, I went to that AA and I didn't like it. They said really stupid things, like if you don't take the first drink, you can't get drunk. And, you know, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. One's too many, a thousand's not enough, all that stuff. But I did hear a guy speak, and his story just blew my mind. It was hilarious. And I could just relate to it. You know, he was crazy like me, but what I didn't understand is he had a job. He didn't have a court date. And, you know, he was happy about being sober. That was the weirdest thing. And he laughed like he was on acid. You know, he had that big, crazy laugh. And so I don't know if I got him that, but I got his phone number. And actually, maybe that's not true. It was the second time. Anyway, so I got out of there. I started drinking pretty much immediately. You know, I was a drug addict, not an alcoholic, but I needed to quit drinking. If that makes any sense. So I started smoking pot. Pot makes me thirsty. I started drinking. I couldn't stop, just like they said in AA. And so I quit going AA, you know. And then I thought, well, you know, I don't get my license back for 2 years. How can I possibly get in any trouble? I don't rob people. I had a robbery charge about 6 months later. And then I was back in the same treatment center, you know, and the same volunteers and stuff. They're coming in, like, weren't you just in here? You know, the people from AA are coming in, you know, the young people. They're like, you were just here, weren't you? And you have to tell them, like, you know, that everything they said was right and you just want to kill them. And, yeah, it was bad. But I heard that guy I was talking about speak, and that guy asked him to be my sponsor. And I didn't really talk to him. And I'll do my little thing on sponsorship. In the beginning, I sponsored myself a lot. And what I found when I sponsor myself, I drink frequently. So I drank a lot time sponsoring myself. But I started talking to that guy, Joe. He's still my sponsor today. I've had the same sponsor for over 37 years. And I've wanted to fire him many times. You know, a lot of times he doesn't see things my way. So, you know, he just helped me so much with things. Like I'd try to tell him how I was an alcoholic because my mom and everything. He'd be like, yeah, well, don't you have a brother? And I'd be like, yeah, I got a brother. And he'd be like, well, didn't he grow up in the same house as you? And I'd be like, yeah, he's got the same parents, right? Like, yeah. He's like, well, is he going to prison? Does he have a DUI? Is he in a treatment center? And I would just get so mad, you know. And I would just get so mad at him, you know. But I couldn't say anything, you know what I mean? And then, so I would talk to him a little, but I'd get pissed and quit talking to him. And all he'd ever talk about is the Big Book. Like, it was like, the, you know, the most amazing book ever written. And I just looked at the date, you know. I'm like, 1939? I'm like, come on, dude, you gotta have a newer book. And I need some pills to sleep. And they weren't giving any pills out. So I was just screwed. I mean, I finished treatment, I did everything they said, but I'm like looking to go into prison. I'm like, A, it doesn't work, you know what I mean? Like, I still have this court date. They're still saying I'm gonna go to prison. I'm like, why am I staying sober? This is stupid. I should be getting ripped, you know? And I started calling the sponsor again, and I don't know, I stayed sober somehow, you know, and I had about, I guess I had 6 months of sobriety. Yeah, close to 6 months. I'm getting ready to go to jail, and I'm calling the sponsor. All I'm trying to do is get my sponsor to go to court. You know what I mean? I'm like trying to hint, like, you need to come to court and like give a really good speech. And this is what a prick my sponsor is. My sponsor is like, Bill, he said, don't worry. They got a lot of AA in prison. When you get to prison, you're going to be able to go to AA all the time. And I was just like, what an asshole. You know, like, I need to get a new sponsor. And luckily, I didn't know about Intergroup or I would have reported him. So, but the miracle is he's still my sponsor. You know what I mean? He would say so many things where I don't even know why I kept talking to him. Because my normal way of operating, if you don't agree with me or buy my bullshit, I get way away from you. Especially if you say, you know, confront me with any kind of reality. You know, I don't like that. So I got to where it was time to go, and my plan B was like, I'm just going to hitchhike to Colorado, build a teepee, and learn to eat squirrels, you know, or whatever. And, you know, I was like, I'm not going to prison. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't have the people skills. You know what I mean? I would get stressed out buying cigarettes sober. That was a heavy thing. So I called him, and it was just horrible. I wanted him to give me the answer of what to do, you know, so I could blame him because they had offered me a plea bargain. And he's like, well, I would just pray about it and try to go with your guts. And then the kicker, and try to help another alcoholic. And I'm like, yeah, from the guy that can't come to court with me. You know, I didn't say that. But that's what I thought in my head. And what happened is the phone rang, and it was a guy who was my roommate from treatment. And it was just so crazy. He was drunk. He was in a phone booth. You can look that up on the internet, kids. He was in a phone booth, and he was drunk, and he was crying, and he was like, I can't take it anymore. And like, I was like, just try to stay sober till the night, go to the meeting. I said, if I don't go to jail tomorrow, I'll meet you at the young people's group or whatever. And I hung up the phone, and I was calm. And it was so weird. I didn't know it then. I know it now. I had a little spiritual experience. I was like, I'd rather be sober going to prison than be him drunk in the phone booth. And I was like, if I go to prison, stay sober, you know, maybe I'll have some really shitty life. You know, some lame-ass life. But, you know, maybe I won't have to live in prison forever, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, that was the start. I went to court instead of skipping. I was like, if you skip court, everything's going to be that much worse. And also, I know I'm lazy. I'm not going to be some guy's going to be on the run for 10 years. They're going to find me in my mom's backyard eating Pop-Tarts, you know, under a blanket or something. I'm not going to, you know, be in Idaho or something, you know, with a standoff or something. But so I went to jail. And, you know, was in jail a few weeks and got out of jail. I was like, how the AA works, and got drunk like almost immediately again. Couldn't believe it. But I went to Ikipah in 1985. It was in Colorado. It was pretty cool. And I didn't drink for 8 months. And I was so dry, if he would have lit a match by me, I would have just went up in flames. But I mean, I just refused to do AA. You know what I mean? I'd go to like one meeting a week and just bitch and moan and stuff. And, but I started calling my sponsor because I couldn't sleep, and he worked night shift. So I'd call him like 2 in the morning. You know? Like, see him at the meeting, I have no problems. But I'd call him at like 2 in the morning. He'd be like, yeah, Bill, what do you want? This is before caller ID. I'd be like, how do you know it's me? He'd go, other people got jobs. They sleep at night. He'd laugh in the phone. I just want to kill him, you know. But he would just talk about AA, and it'd put me to sleep. You know, he'd be like, have you read the doctor's opinion? Have you read this, da, da, da? And I'd just be like, Jesus Christ, all he talks about is AA, I'm in hell. But I would go to sleep, and slowly I started doing things he suggested. He's like, well, how many meetings you go to a week? I'd be like, one. And he'd be like, how often did you drink? And I'd be like, every day. And he'd be like, well, I think you can go to one meeting a day. I mean, I didn't work. I didn't go to school. I didn't do shit, you know. And you know, I just sucked from my family, you know, money for cigarettes and coffee and stuff. So I started going to a meeting every day, and you know, that improved my life a lot. And then he got me reading the Big Book every day, and that helped, believe it or not. And then the big change, though, was he got me to do the inventory. I did it, you know, I was about 8 months dry, and I was just ready to explode. And he's like, why don't you write those things down that bother you? You know, so I wrote everything down, and I met him at this AA club, and I didn't think it was a very secure location, but we did it. And when it was done, man, I knew that I had told him everything. You know what I mean? I knew that I had done it. And since he had me read the book like I did, I knew that if I left anything out, it wasn't going to work. You know what I mean? That stuff that was eating my lunch would still be there that would cause me to drink again. You know? So that's what happened. And after that, man, I just followed him around like a puppy dog. I mean, we would go places I didn't want to go. Like, he's like, oh, what are you doing, money? We're going to go to the state mental institution. I'd be like, why the hell would we go there? You know, we're going to this place, everybody's on Thorazine, man. They bum a cigarette, you just smoke the whole thing in one hit. We smoked the old cigarette, you know. Then we're going to state prison. We're in there locked in with all these guys that look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. They shake your hand, just let you know they can break every bone in like a second. We're up there talking to him, and he's like, he's killing me. You know, they're coming. He goes, doesn't he look like Magic Johnson? I'm like, shut the fuck up. Just shut up, you know. And they loved him, you know. We're being there, and you know, we're locked, and there were like 200 inmates, you know. And we're talking, and I'm seeing the only difference is AA. I mean, these guys are talking about the same stuff that I've done and haven't gotten caught. Or, you know what I mean? Just amazing. I can't tell you how many times I've had a conversation with somebody, 5 minutes has completely changed my life. Especially in jails helped me the most, just because it makes you think of things differently. Like, I was talking to this guy. I didn't come to the meeting. He goes, where were you? I was like, I was out camping. And he's like, really? He goes, you know, I haven't touched a tree in 5 years. And so when I was out, then I was like, every time I see a tree, I'm touching one. Because I'm like, because I can, you know, because you can take that shit for granted. That's the thing I like to do a lot now. I like to go hiking, go out in the wilderness, stuff like that by myself. I just like being out in nature and stuff. But, you know, it's been a great ride. I mean, you know, I moved down here in 2000 or 99. And when this group started, they wanted me to come to this group. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And that's usually how it is. Whatever's going to help me, I don't want to do. You know, and I met these guys. They're like, we're starting a young people's group. You got sober when you're 19. You should come. And I was like, screw that. I was like 34, I guess. I was like, I'm not going to young people's. You know, that's for when you're 20 or something. And, you know, I just ended up coming, and it was such a good thing for me. And, I mean, I've seen so many people get sober and, you know, down here. And, you know, I didn't want to have anything. I tried to move out of Tampa the whole first year and a half I was here. And it was like, it just didn't happen now. So I've been temporary living here for the last 23 years. So, but it's been a good deal. And if you're new, the main thing I would say is just give yourself a break. I mean, you really have been given an opportunity just to be here and be exposed to Alcoholics Anonymous. The people here, the only reason they're trying to help you is because it helps them stay sober. So, you know, I kept thinking there was some big catch. They're doing it because they've been where you're at. You know, and it helps them to stay sober. You know, I can't stress how important it is to have a sponsor. I still talk to my sponsor almost daily. It's just something that, you know, that has helped me immensely. Because he has my best interests, you know, and he doesn't, it's a neutral, you know what I mean? He's got a neutral spin. All he wants is for me to be happy, you know. And like I said, it helps him to stay sober too. But over the years, we've helped each other a lot. So, you know, that's pretty much all I got to say. Thanks, everyone.